Welcome, listeners, to The Extra Inch. And it's just me, but I'm joined by, oh my goodness, well, the self-proclaimed greatest of all time Spurs blogger. And more importantly, my mate Spooky. How are you doing, Spook?
Mate, I'm kind of nervous, to be fair.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm about 2.5 rums deep at the moment. it's strange. I think it's because it's still, as much as we're all podcasting during these pandemic hit days, as we're coming out of them, it still seems a bit strange having conversations with people that I know.
I know what you mean.
In this way, you know, whereas I think face-to-face, it's obviously infinitely better to be looking at someone and talking to them. And I kind of miss that. But
yeah, just imagine we're in the back room of a country pub, fire roaring, couple of pints on the side.
That sounds nice.
You've got a rum chaser as well. Just two old friends catching
only
up.
The one. Yeah. Need more.
Where do we start? People who don't know Spooky.
How dare you?
It's unlikely. maybe some newer Spurs fans might not know you. Spooky created the Dear Mr. Levy blog, which is to this day the best Spurs blog going. It's art. It's a piece of art. Do you remember your first blog?
Yeah, I still remember how it came to be. Like in terms of why I started blogging, I have Andy Reid to thank for and Tottenham supporters. It came about back in those days. We're going back about 15 years. Used to post on Glory, one or two other football forums, and I think at the time I was kind of satirically attacking Tottenham supporters for overreacting to certain things, like you know what it's like. You're linked to a player you've never watched, and we're going to sign him. You want to sign him. We don't sign him, and you lose your shit. But you've never actually seen the guy play. You don't even know if he's any good. And there was Andy Reid vibes with that. People were like, "Get it done. Get the, you know, come on, Levy. Get on with it." And I think I just started posting on a forum in caps. And it was kind of like a rage fit against Daniel Levy. And they kind of started to form Dear Mr. Levy letters. And then I thought, you know what, I might have something here. I quite enjoy writing. I could probably do a bit more than just pure satire all the time. Kind of lose the caps lock. And then I set up a blog on Google Blogger on that platform. And it was different back then. You could blog every day. And it didn't have to be this kind of very wordy, epic dissertation on Tottenham Hotspur. It was just updates. Just imagine Twitter without the word count, and you know, and that was the alternative to forums and message boards and even news groups. People still used to use news groups back in those days. So I think I've always been a writer, and I never really found the subject matter. And it kind of dawned on me, you know, one of the greatest escapisms that I have in my life is Tottenham Hotspur. So surely the two go together, and thankfully they did. And it's been a therapeutic saga of blogs ever since.
It's so funny that you used to produce bite-sized blogs, because oh my goodness, so many words now, mate. I know.
This is the thing, isn't it? It's
you can't help yourself.
No, but it's when I'm in a conversation with people, I could probably make my point in three sentences, but I go off on a tangent, and like, I don't know, 15 minutes later, I've made the same point, but with a lot of words, and it's just, I need an editor.
Normally do is you start off making a very sensible point, and then halfway through, you get sidetracked and you argue against yourself, and then you end up going back to the original point. Spooky is famous in the Fighting Cock WhatsApp group for lengthy voice notes, and it gets a lot of stick from T in particular for them.
I just do it to annoy T, to be fair.
Yeah, I think we all do at this point, don't we? So the letter style, the letter writing style, the sort of, you know, you were directing sarcastic ire towards Daniel Levy.
Yeah.
But there have been points as well where it's been genuine, haven't there?
But I think there's always, I think even in the satire, there's a point that's been made. And sometimes, you know, I don't sit on the fence, but I am in the middle of a lot of things, because I think most things are not kind of black or white. You know, they're not left and right. They're complex, and there's a lot that people should consider. But that doesn't sell. You know, if you're going to make a point, you have to be brutal with your point. And with the letters, often I subtly made points. It's subtle digs at the club, but also subtle digs at the complicity that the fan base had. We are hypocrites. We are fickle. We do change. We do move the goalposts. You know, football is a strange place with no real rules. So beyond the satire, sometimes they were pretty much serious attempts at trying to get a point across. I mean, Stratford was probably the big thing that happened at the time. You know, I was very much anti-Stratford. I think a lot of people were. Some were pro-Stratford. It's interesting, a lot of people that were pro-Stratford back then are now anti-Daniel Levy and modern football. So it's,
how interesting.
Yeah, but look, there's different ways to support a football club. I don't agree with certain ways. It's probably something that ties into the way you live your life, you know, the way you approach other things. And for me, football is serious. I do take it seriously.
Yeah.
I do, like most of us.
Don't
Spurs,
we all? Yeah.
Can ruin your weekend, you know, and you can be in an actual foul mood over something or disheartened, and it's just a game of football, and you might wake up a couple of days late and feel okay and you're over it. But that's also what football's about. But you got to take it seriously, because there's not a day that goes by. I mean, you know this. Tottenham is on my mind every single day. It's actually mental how much I think about Spurs. It's not just because of the blogging and the podcasting and the fighting cock and all my mates. It is a nice escapism, and it's one that is also not much of an escapism if you allow it to kind of fester in your head and your heart, which a lot of supporters appear to be doing at the minute and have been for many years. So it's a conduit, isn't it? I mean, it's a conduit for my writing, but also just a connection to family, friends, social life. You know, there's so much that ties into football, which is why I say be positive and optimistic. What's the worst that can happen? You know, we've pretty much suffered everything that we can as supporters, but we still support one of the biggest clubs in world football. And if you don't agree Tottenham ain't a big club, then I don't know, go and have a look at the League Two, you know. Go and have a look at supporters that follow their team and wouldn't change it for the world. And just try and understand that you're pretty lucky if Tottenham chose you. I mean, that's my philosophy anyway.
No, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I feel like I've lost a bit of that over the years, to be honest. You talked about community, and I think that's one of the special things about your blog. People really, your blog resonated with a lot of people, I think, over many years, and also your regularity of posting, which definitely helps people sort of feel, they look forward to posts and they feel a connection. But also you had a community within the comments section of your blog as well, which is, I mean, that's pretty much unheard of now. The only place I know that happens now is Cartilage Free Captain, the blog that Dustin runs. Yeah. They've got a fantastic community in the comments section, but you had that 10, 15 years ago. That's mad.
Yeah, they're still banging away in the comments section. And a lot
of
them,
same people.
Yeah, some have been. I've spoken to privately. You know, they've been knocking about for a decade. And I mean that's great. That people can connect in that way online and make friends and meet up. I mean, one guy actually got Dear Mr. Levy printed on the back of his Tottenham shirt. I've got the photograph somewhere. So, you know, these guys do exist. It's not me making alias accounts and just posting.
Shots fired.
Which some bloggers do. Anyway. But the point is that it has resonated. I mean, I don't post as much on there these days because I'm on Patreon. I'm trying different things, but I still like to go back. You know, one guy got in touch and wanted me to write something about Jimmy Greaves because a lot of the guys on Dear Mr. Levy are of that generation. You know, losing Jimmy Greaves for them is probably how we might feel when we lose Son in the distant future, or Harry Kane, depending on what happens. So there's a connection there, and it's great. I do need to get back into the habit of posting on Dear Mr. Levy more often. The problem I've got, I mean, the problem everyone has is time and the lack of, but also Twitter has kind of made blogs redundant in many ways. You know, I think Dear Mr. Levy is still a great platform to post long form epic blogs that are about a certain thing that has to be written about, you know. And I think on those occasions people will take the time to read them and share them. But yeah, social media now is very fast paced. Everyone's a blogger, you know. Everyone on social media is fundamentally blogging their lives and their opinions. So it's just trying to find the place in amongst all the noise.
And I'm interested in how you kind of found your voice. Obviously, you said at the start it came out of the way you'd post on forums in response to Spurs fans being Spurs fans and having the kind of tantrums that football fans always have about transfers and whatnot. But you've got this sort of quite uniquely philosophical style, sometimes biblical style also. And I'm intrigued as to where that popped up from.
That's an easy question to answer, to be fair. You're going to know this anyway, mate, but I'm deep. I'm a deep person. I'm a deep thinker. I overthink most things. I'm getting better these days, but obviously I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I am a tactician. I can read the game. I'm obviously not at the levels of yourself, of people like Nathan and other people that just gravitate towards kind of insightful changes in a game. I think with me is philosophical, and the way I look at football is philosophical, and maybe because I just see parallels with life and relationships and loyalty and the just the ability, the capacity to be able to dream about better days and to also accept that sometimes things don't go well, you know, in life, in football, and you've got to take the bad with the good and the good with the bad. And there's always a payoff because, as I've always said, the good times are only good because of the bad times. You know, the bad times make the good times better. And it's just that's every football club, even the successful football clubs, will have dips. So I don't think anyone else was really writing. I mean, there were some really good writers, and there still are some incredibly elegant, insightful writers that write about Tottenham. And I just thought no one's doing this particular mix, because back then I would also do posts and blogs that were that used images and you know, I was just trying to do something different. And yeah, sure, there's a lot of things that I would cringe looking back on. But the whole philosophical thing is, you know, most people, they kind of wake up, they think about the day ahead, they think about getting to work. You know, we all think about making money, having the money to be comfortable, to do good things, and thinking about friends and family and the rest of it. But I'd stay awake all night thinking about what existed before the Big Bang. If the Big Bang, and if something did exist before the Big Bang, what was it? Because surely it would mean it was always there, but our brains don't have the capacity to understand time as some infinite metric. And yeah, 4 hours later, you know, I'm trying to work out the secrets to the universe. But that's just the way my brain is wired, and it kind of leaks into everyday life, and perhaps it isn't a healthy thing, and it probably in some moments in my life hasn't been a healthy way of approaching things, because I can't detach from those kind of deep thoughts. Sometimes it's just a football, you know, it's not a black hole, you know, it's just and I'm kind of jealous of people that can just kick on and move on, whereas I kind of fixate on things. So that's definitely leaked into the way I write, and you know, even the way I talk. I mean, even now, like the way I'm talking and the way I might have conversations with people that are not football related. I guess one of my annoyances with myself is that often I talk about things with people and then realize it's the wrong conversation to be having. They don't need to know this. They don't need to understand this. Save it for someone that will kind of understand the point you're trying to make. And it's I don't know what that is. There's obviously something for a psychologist to get his fingers deep into. That sounded wrong, actually.
I completely identify with that, though. The maybe like oversharing with someone and then analyzing afterwards, was that the right thing to say? Was that the right thing to right way to act? I'm like that all the time. I completely get it. I think your philosophical style lends itself really nicely to a club like our ridiculous club that runs itself like a soap opera at times. It does feel like there's always something going on at Spurs. There's so much drama, isn't there? And so analysing that in a kind of philosophical way rather than a tabloidy way, I think, is why people appreciate the blog so much. What people won't necessarily know is that you've had a really, really, really rough few years. I struggle to think of another mate of mine who's had such bad luck like you over the last few years. And there's been some pretty dark times in amongst it all where, I mean, I've at times thought, bloody hell, how spooky going to put himself out of this one? And I'm pleased to say there's a happy ending, and we'll get to that later. But it all started when you lost your job.
Well, here's the irony is that I didn't, I mean, I chose to lose it. I took redundancy, mainly because of company politics. You know, it was just a shambolic department transition, and myself, my manager, and a couple of other people left, and we took redundancy, and I was quite confident in the 15, 20 years experience I had got from the industry that I was working in, and kind of bounced into this new world and realized very quickly that I was I don't know what the right word is. I suddenly realized, as good as what I was doing within this company, it didn't count for much in the world in outside of the company, because things had moved on. Just the way employment was working, the way the way they were looking at interviewing people of certain skills, and if you have someone that has a skill set that might be 3 or 4, maybe even 6 or 7 different abilities, they're kind of looking for the one. So they don't think you're a specialist in any of them. They think you're a jack of all trades type of thing. So it's suddenly dawned on me that it was going to be difficult. So I was having to contract here and there. But yeah, things got progressively worse. And depression isn't something. I mean, I've spoken about this before. On the Fighting Cock, I wrote an article for the Fighting Cock fanzine about a breakdown I had years back in 2006. That was the year that we got beaten to fourth spot by them lot down the road. But it wasn't really related to them lot, I'm glad to say. But I guess when you do suffer from depression and you do suffer from mental health, it never really goes away. You kind of box it up. You know it's there, but you're also in a position where you can deal with it and manage it. And I guess the things that were going on in terms of the lack of job, the stresses at home, the kind of the pressure and the expectancy, it kind of built up, and yeah, I struggled. I mean, I genuinely struggled. It was really fucking difficult. I mean, it's strange. I'm kind of slowing down the way I'm talking now, because it feels like it happened to someone else.
I was just thinking the same thing, because so much has changed since then. I mean, so I remember you were applying for jobs which, you know, we all thought, yeah, he'll get this one. This has got Spooky's name all over it. And we were just thinking, yeah, this is a no-brainer. And then you'd be like, yeah, didn't get that one. And it was carrying on.
Losing run. I mean,
you were so well qualified for these roles. Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, yeah, Harry, it was 3 points from 12 games or whatever it was. Should remember that, shouldn't I? But yeah, it was that. And then you ended up taking a job in a warehouse, and we were like, okay, cool. Spooky's got regular money coming in. That's great.
I mean,
but that place drove you insane.
do you know, looking back, it is crazy that I ended up there. And that's with no disrespect.
It's not you, is it? It's not you.
Yeah, it's absolutely no disrespect to anyone that does work warehouse jobs or any type of. And it's not like I didn't do that in my younger days. You know, when you're looking for a job over the weekend, but me falling back from office work and from very specialized work to doing what I was doing in this warehouse was surreal. And I did meet people that I'm still in touch with
And that's
it did,
cool.
It did. There was a life lesson in there as well, that there were people from all walks of life. I mean, there was a guy that left his country in Europe to come over here and to bring his family over here, who was a kind of qualified psychologist. But just there was no money in his country. And obviously his qualifications meant nothing in this country. And it's just, you're talking to people who are hyper intelligent.
Yeah.
You know, and they're doing the same. We're all in it together. And there was positives out of that. But obviously it was night work as well. It was a night shift, a 12-hour shift. It was, the pay was just poor. You know, I went from a job that was paying a lot of money to a job that was paying very little money. And the stress is on the family dynamic, on the fact that my confidence was shot. You know, I just had no idea what the future kind of held for me. At times I didn't want to think about the future. You know, you talk about deep thinking, but when you kind of sat trying to work out, are there better options than this, you can go down some dark places. Like I said, then I start trying to second guess myself. You know, am I okay because I'm self-aware about what I'm thinking about? Like, how would a person in my position that feels like the whole world has just swallowed him up and is about to spit him out, how is he meant to behave in this position? Am I okay? Am I exaggerating these thoughts in my mind? It was dark. And obviously I start getting pilled up on antidepressants again, which I've never found them to help positively over time. I think they just numb you. They anchor you to a place where you can maybe function, but beyond that you do need to talk to people and I guess in many ways yourself, you know, the other guys on the fighting cock. I mean, I say the guys on the fighting cock, I mean family, you know, it's probably a stronger connection with you guys than my own family, which is all because of Tottenham Hotspur. It's just it's mad. It's absolutely mad that this kind of community spirit that we've built around us, people genuinely care. And again, this is no exaggeration, that you guys probably saved me from really going under. And then I kind of landed on my feet and actually did get a job that paid well again. And
it was kind of like a bit of fate, wasn't it, when that happened as well? You met up with an old mate, didn't you?
Yeah, just a mate of mine said, do you fancy doing this? It wasn't something I was experienced in. It was a bit of a risk. But that lasted just a few months because the pandemic, the lockdown kind of kicked in, and the people at the company kind of knew what was coming, and they let myself go, and they let another new starter go as well.
Last in, first out.
Yeah. So I was kind of back where I started, and then it was just claiming off the government, which I've never done in my life. But I guess if I've worked my entire life, taking something back off those sons of bitches is something that I have the right to do. And so absolutely, I had to do that, and thankfully some of the kind of football writing in the background stuff that was happening, that was coming through, was helping things. And obviously I've got a daughter who idolises me, and she is the centre of my universe and my existence. So I kind of had to retain some strength over that. And then we had like a year or two of wearing masks and kind of watching Tottenham on the telly under Mourinho, which was... It's like my grief was compounded even further. And here's someone who was actively vocalising his support for Mourinho because I wanted Tottenham to be successful. You know, I kind of bought into it. I made the sacrifice and just decided, you know what? No, I'm gonna back him here. He's gonna give us the edge. And obviously, we all know what happened. We all make mistakes, I guess, and I've made a number of them.
No, it's interesting to hear you describe the reason to back him, Mourinho, because at the time, I wouldn't say we clashed, because we don't clash. You and I don't tend to clash, but we disagreed on Mourinho quite a lot.
Definitely.
I mean, I Alex and I in our group were the outsiders. We were very like, we just didn't like the direction of travel under Mourinho at all. And people were sort of saying, but like, there are positives here, give it a chance. And I sort of felt at the time as if I was as if I was being irrational. And then I look back and think, I don't think I was. I don't think I was being irrational, but other people were trying to rationalise it to get through it, which is completely fair enough. And I'd just given up doing that. But your reasons for trying to be positive are that you are simply an optimist when it comes to Spurs, because you think, if I can't be hopeful about Spurs, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Did you find that period under Mourinho difficult?
Yeah, of course, because it did feel that the thing that I was waiting for, that edge, was then swallowed up by his own fear. I think that if he was more expressive, or if Tottenham were more expansive in the way we played, we would have comfortably got the points to qualify for the Champions League. But his inability to open up a little bit and take those risks, to be so cautious against teams that we should be dismantling, cost us. And it kind of shows how much he has phased out he is to modern football. It was difficult just lying to myself, maybe.
I was going to say, did it feel like you were trying to pull the wool over your own eyes?
Yeah, I think so.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think one of the reasons why maybe I don't get as many pile-ons as you do, right? Okay. And why people don't attack me openly as much as I would expect them to. Because I think, and this isn't a slight on you in any way, I'm just in terms of the way that I may tweet, when someone does say something that I don't agree with, the way I approach it is, I guess I tell them they're wrong. But then what I also do is admit when I'm wrong in completely different circumstances. Mm. And I think they probably see that to the point where they just let me get on with it. So when I knew that backing Mourinho was the wrong thing, I didn't have a problem with just saying, right, I fucked up. This was a mistake. It's not going to work. It was an experiment. It was a failed experiment. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, because I don't maybe, unlike some people, they might, and again, this isn't about you. This is about people that I would usually want to have a kind of argument with. They will stand their ground and not admit publicly that they're wrong because of, I don't know, they might lose social points, you know, or something in their eyes. It's a sign of weakness if you back the wrong horse, you know, and then everyone knows you've lost your money. You can't do that on social media for some reason. That's why I kind of respect what you've done. You have stood your ground and you've actually gone beyond what I've done. If anything, I've been a coward in terms of not saying what I should have said. I've been too diplomatic, and I have maybe on those occasions sat on the fence. Whereas I think you stand your ground and you say what you've got to say, and you die on the sword or whatever, fall on the sword, and I kind of respect that. Whereas I think sometimes I can't be bothered with the fallout that will come out of it, because it would be easy for me to go on Twitter and say something, and then that pile on will happen. And sometimes I get the feeling that people are waiting for that moment for them to pile on, because they know I'm outspoken. Some people, I know for a fact, because I just know for a fact some people don't like the way I tweet and the way I talk, and they want to kind of see me fail in some way, and are probably waiting for that opportunity But I keep playing the game. Whereas I think you stay true to yourself. And you walked away from it, which was, I think, the best thing for you, for yourself as well, because the platform isn't built for the conversations you want to have. You want to have an actual conversation about something. And we all make mistakes. I'm not saying you haven't made a mistake. I haven't made a mistake. We're all guilty of maybe saying the right thing in the wrong way on social media. But I think the difference is that often we can admit to that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of wisdom there.
It's funny how defined our lives are by these platforms as well. Do you know? It always Absolutely. Comes back to...
Yeah, it's like they create self-policing parameters within which we can express ourselves. And that's really troubling to me. And that's why I just in the end just gave up on it and stepped away. And I think your way of managing it is clearly like the way forward in order to maintain a semblance of sanity whilst also being able to tweet about Tottenham, which is a crazy thing to say, isn't it? Like, anyone should be able to just tweet about Tottenham and not worry about the consequences. But well, you found a way, and you found an audience, and you do, I mean, you do unite what I would say both sides, you know. I say both sides in almost like a Brexity sense, but in a sort of, you know, pro-Levy, anti-Levy, you've got followers from both sides.
Yeah.
Probably quite right-wing people follow you and quite left-wing people follow you.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And that's quite an impressive feat for Twitter. That's unusual.
But it is, most definitely, especially because people like their echo chambers. But again, it's. I'm not saying I'm insincere. I do see and agree with arguments on both sides.
Yeah,
I always kind of compare it to the Democrats and the Republicans. It's like you have to believe in a set of things in order to be red or blue. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. Are you telling me you don't agree with that thing because it's simply on the other side? It just doesn't make, on a human, on a common sense perspective, just, you know. Surely your beliefs, but no, it's religious. It's like a religion,
yeah.
In itself, politics, you know, and I think that kind of tribal element is amplified on social media. And I am obsessed with Twitter as well. I'm not gonna lie. As much as I talk about it and I slate it and I criticize it, there are good things about it and there are really good conversations, and I've met some incredible people through social media. I've actually met them in real life, you know. And it's I think they're, again, you take the good with the bad with most things. And it is a fledgling platform. I don't think as humans we have mastered the art of communication in digital form, you know. And you can see that with the way that information gets distorted, with the way people use it to kind of manipulate opinions and perspectives.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very messy. But I'm still glad that we can now meet up in a pub and see friends and family again. You know, we're getting back to normality, and with that I think comes an actual conversation you can have with someone that resonates in a human way, and you can look into a person's eyes, you know what I mean, and you can kind of bounce off ideas and opinions and work off people's facial expressions. You get none of that on social media. You get an avatar and maybe a couple of flags and a weird bio, and that's just about it that you've got to work off. So yeah,
and like you say, very binary opinions, and perhaps that's why the charm of the blog and the comment section on the blog is still going strong, because you don't have to have a binary opinion. You're just having a conversation with someone you respect, and that's far more meaningful. And rooted in something pure rather than rooted in trying to win an argument.
Exactly.
So we've spoken about the last few years being pretty rough, but out of the ashes, new job. And also the Patreon.
Yeah. So the new job. So I've been contracting. You know, I went from a warehouse job to then spending a year booking people in for their COVID vaccinations.
Was that a year? Oh my goodness!
Well, the end of last year, because I was looking. I was looking for something to supplement all the other kind of the kind of football writing stuff. And the Patreon had kind of launched, I think, November last year, and it was a slow burner initially, and then it kind of exploded a little bit, and then suddenly I was buying mics and laptops and other equipment, and for me the most important thing was kind of anchoring myself to something and kind of rebooting myself.
Yeah.
You know, and so the kind of telephone work, I mean, I did tech support 20, 25 years ago, however long ago it was. I'm showing my age here. And so talking to people on the phone was very interesting again, especially in the early days of the vaccination, because you had a lot of people having breakdowns on the phone, crying. Yeah. And it was quite emotional because we weren't actually trained to take those type of calls. But I found it fulfilling and satisfying. And that kind of led into another job dealing with social media. So I'm kind of back to what I was kind of doing before, but maybe a level above. And so, yeah, it's a bit of an epic falling on your feet moment, you know, because my day to, and this is, people might cringe at this, but my day-to-day happiness, or just the sense of being part of something in work as well as outside of work was important, that kind of work-life balance. And so yeah, just kind of fell on my feet with that. And the Patreon thing, again, it's just, you know, it's just an extension of everything that I've ever done, like with the Fighting Cock, with the blogs. Obviously I'm learning the craft of kind of having to present and create my own content, my own kind of audio content. Some of it's been good, some of it's been bad, but it's just a learning curve. And, you know, people join me on that journey and they sub off, and that's fair enough. I've got, you know, I appreciate every single person that's kind of pledged towards it, because it's allowed me this further conduit to talk about Spurs. And it's great. I mean, again, it's just, I think I'm always going to write about Tottenham and talk about Tottenham, because it's something I can do with very little effort. And yet at the same time, it's a bit of a paradox. It can take a lot out of me. It can be exhausting.
Yep.
And there's so feeling. Much. Yeah. I mean, you, of course, I mean, with Extra Inch and the blogs over the years, and obviously you know, the things that you've tweeted and discussed and all the different arguments and discussions and opinions, you know, you kind of fight in a corner and you're trying to make a point about something. And this is the great thing about football, but especially Tottenham. Tottenham are very unlike most football fan bases. We don't all sing from the same hymn sheet. It's very fragmented. You know, you cannot tell a Tottenham supporter what to think. You know, it's, and this is the thing that I tapped into organically. Like, here's my opinion, and if it resonates, that's great. And it did resonate. It has resonated. I've had, you know, some of the best nights were the Fighting. Well, most of the best nights were at White Hart Lane, but some of the best have also been at the Fighting Cock socials. And you get people walk up to you and talk to you, and then say, you're having a great conversation, say, I've been reading your blog for like 10 years. And then they say something that really gets you on an emotional level, because you think, fuck, you know, this guy gets what I'm saying and I get what he's saying. And I think there's a beauty in that. And I know people might listen and think, well, I mean, the likelihood of that is, you know, it's likely to happen considering we all follow Tottenham, we all talk about Tottenham. But I think people are pretty much unique, especially in the way they digest and consume and support this club. So being able to make this content, being able to make a bit of money from it in order to buy a decent mic and a decent boomstick and all the other little bits and pieces that I'm pulling together to kind of continue to grow it, is fantastic, because it keeps me connected as well. You know, it keeps me connected to this constant stream of therapy that I'm kind of giving to myself, you know, and allowing myself to be creative. And it's a process as well. Sometimes I like getting on and chatting, because I want to get the words out of my mouth, out my head. They've got to leave my head. And then when I say it out loud and I listen back, or I've got someone else to bounce these ideas off, I then realise, oh, hold on a minute, I got this wrong. Why don't I think of this in a different way? You know, why am I detached from this particular coach or whatever it is? And it's, I think it's a more personal, like, this conversation is infinitely better than anything that I could have in discussion on Twitter. As much as I do genuinely like spending time on Twitter and talking to people. But having this and talking about some of the things that we spoke about, it kind of makes me feel good about myself. It gives me a self-awareness. You know, it gives me that I have had three very, very difficult years. And there have been moments in those years that I just did not see a way out. I just could not see a way out. And now I can look back, and like I said earlier, it does feel like it was a different person. And it's because of Tottenham Hotspur. You know, I know you because of Spurs and you know, and Flav because of a Facebook message that he sent when he was drunk. Let's just say drunk, that birthed the fighting cock. They're just incredible moments in time. And I guess for everything negative that happens in life or with Tottenham, I always know something better is going to, it will come along, you know, if you stand up and wait for it or stand up and run towards it. I'm learning to run again after a long, Spooky's been in the mud for a long, long time. For a long time.
And you're clambering out now.
I need a fucking good shower.
Me, I mean, I would say there were some times where I like I mentioned, I did think, how's he going to pull this back round? But I never doubted for a second that there would be the perfect job out there for you. Partly because you're one of the smartest people I know. You're also a really lovely bloke, which helps because it means you can work with anyone to an extent. I mean, you could probably work in any environment and just get by. But you're good, you know, you're a man with plenty of experience and a high level role in your sector. You're always going to find something, but he was just waiting for that moment. And the problem was, when you've got a child and rent to pay, you haven't got time. You need something now. Exactly. You need, and that was why it was so tough to watch what was happening to you. Mm. And I really felt for you. And I, you know, we had many a chat, didn't we, when times were tough, and it was just like, what can I do? What can I do to help? And we all sort of try to chip in at times and think, okay, well, what contacts have we got? Who could we ask to help Spooky out? I'm just so thrilled that it's worked out for you so well, and you're honestly like a new man at the moment.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you're in those kind of deep holes and you're struggling, I guess the energy around you keeps you kind of pulled away from the sunlight, you know. It just doesn't, you kind of get in a rut, and it becomes more about the rut than it becomes about the potential that you might have as a person to kind of 100%. Dig yourself out and
it's overwhelming, mate.
And because of past problems, I guess I did fall apart like a 1990s Tottenham back four, you know. It was a shambles, and it was, I kind of felt as well, it's really difficult. It's the classic thing about the stigma around men not being able to talk, and every time that I did try and open up with you guys, it felt like I was asking for something, or I was you feel instinctively guilty, you know, that you're a burden on anybody that you try to turn towards and have a conversation with. And it's really, I don't know what the right word would be. I don't think it's funny, but it's interesting that having gone through it years back, 15, 16, 17 years ago, just before I probably started blogging, to be fair, having gone through it and having recognized with hindsight the signs that lead up to these type of moments, I thought at the time it could never happen to me again because I know what to do next time. Talk. Don't shut down. Whereas I did shut down, but then I did start to talk again, and that eventually got me back. And yeah, I mean, it's you know, mental health now, it's again, it's, times have changed. I know it's still difficult for people to be upfront about certain things, but at the same time, people are upfront. And there's people again at the Fighting Cock that have turned up and said, you know, they've gone up to some of the other guys as well. They've sent emails in and said, you know, I mean, you've probably seen some of this stuff as well. You've probably received some of this stuff. People saying that, you know, the podcast has got me through some rough times because I felt alone. But then I'm listening to a bunch of guys talk Tottenham and making crude jokes and I felt I was part of something, and that kind of pulled me up and made me think, no, let me get my shit together. And that might sound like, come on, mate, like, you're telling me the Fighting Cock made you pull your shit together? That's, you know, that in itself sounds quite disturbing, but it has. And there are other instances where people have probably listened to other pods or read books or done something where
for sure.
It's just encouraged them and to kind of make that journey from the pits back into the sunlight. So
100%. I love getting those emails. We do get them every now and again. Someone just said, like, someone will tell us how much we've helped them out just by being there. And it's not like we're setting out to deliberately do that. All we're doing is talking about Tottenham Hotspur. But the regularity, the camaraderie and friendship we have, the warmth is what people enjoy. And, you know, I've found it myself. I've mentioned this quite a few times on various things, but I had a rough time last year. My girlfriend lost her dad, and it was just a terrible, terrible time. And the thing that got me through it, honestly, the thing that got me through it was listening to the Fleet Foxes album, Sure, every day without fail. I'd listen to it sometimes 2-3 times a day, and I'd anchor myself to it. And there were moments in some of those songs that would just lift me up out of this real crappy period. And I think that's what... It's the same effect as what podcasts can have. Just something... There's something hopeful and something familiar about your favourite podcast that can guide you through.
Yeah.
They're important. I mean, it's such an important part of culture and society now. Before we sign off... do you want to tell people what they could expect if they signed up for the Patreon, and also where they would go to do so?
Yeah, it's patreon.com/spookyinpurgatory.
Perfect name. It's just a perfect name.
So basically, most of my blogs, if not all of my blogs, are now behind the Patreon wall of glory. It's a glory hole, basically.
Has the wall got Son lying down behind it to stop the low shot beneath it?
That's quite a good idea. Let me see if I can get him to sign on. So, yeah, so basically I do a variety of different types of blogs, post, you know, post-game mostly, because then I've got something to write about. But there's, I think at the moment, there's probably about 5 podcasts. So there's... the Bare Bones, which is just me pretending to be Bill Burr, and I kind of talk for about 15-20 minutes. The Filthy Shambles podcast, which is me and a guest, and that can be before a game, after a game, or it could just be about a certain subject or topic. Old Man Yells at Spurs is a video podcast. That tends to be about a specific thing. And that might evolve. What I'm looking to do is actually maybe have that with me and a guest again, but stream it on YouTube. So I've got some ideas behind evolving the video podcast. I also do a pod with Flav of the Fighting Cock. There's something about Tottenham. And we kind of try and define with each episode what it means to be a Spurs supporter. You know, what does it mean to be Tottenham? The first one was our hatred of Arsenal. You know, we're doing one, we're recording one soon that's going to cover off the fact that Spurs supporters are anchored to the past. Everything's a comparison to what's happened, and we can never seem to move forward because we're just always looking back. So they're great timeless podcasts, because you could probably listen to them at any point and they will still mean something because of the subject matter. And there's a new pod getting recorded after the North London Derby, which is something I'm working on with Kieran of Memory Lane podcast.
Nice.
Called Away From Home. And it's an irreverent review of an away trip. So Kieran's going to get to go to a lot of away games, and we're going to get Patreons on, and anyone actually that kind of submits their want to be on the pod to talk about the experience, you know, difficulty in getting there, the state of the food, the quality of the pints, whether you're going to piss in a cubicle or the basin. It's rather than just fixate on the football, which I think a lot of podcasts are doing, it's just the culture of following your team up and down the country. So there's quite a lot there. It's a lot of it is still quite raw. It's still early days with what I'm trying to do. I guess it's difficult for me because it's just me, Billy No Mates, you know. It's not the Extra Inch or the Fighting Cock, which is probably an easier sale. But join me if you're interested. And if you don't like the content, like I said earlier, it's not for everyone. I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing. You know, I'm active every day. And with subject matter like Tottenham, I need to put it out there. I need to get it out of my head.
Mate, it's been absolutely wonderful catching up with you. I hope that many listeners will relate to things you've been speaking about and want to sign up for your Patreon. It's good stuff, and it's getting better. And I wish you all the very best luck with it.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you as well.
Oh, I'll catch you in the WhatsApp group in about 5 minutes, yeah. I'm sure.
We should do this more often as well, just maybe fixate more on Tottenham. It'd be good to get a kind of mix of my philosophy and your analytics. I think it sometimes makes for a good discussion, as we agree on a lot of things, but sometimes we disagree on the perception of certain things. So
yeah, there could be a nice meshing of views.
Definitely,
there.
I think so. Cheers, lad.